Okay, so the title of the shiur is Giving Chashivas to Women. And we're going to do it. It's a difficult Gemara. Difficult Gemara to understand. Let's see. Megillah, if you want. Megillah 14b. Yidalan Mabes. Okay? Megillah Yidalan Mabes. So it's about giving Chashivas, importance to women. And, yeah. Okay. So the shiur is not, you don't know this. So the shiur is not going to get into practical discussions. Okay. Not, it's not going to get into practical discussions, but it is going to deal with the difficult, sounding Gemara. And we're going to do our best with it and see if we can make good sense of it. Okay. So, so the Gemara says like this. Omer Rav Nachman. Oh, I lost my place here. Yeah, Omer Rav Nachman. It's like the eighth to last skinny line and 14 being Lo Ya'a Yehirusa Linishi. Okay, so the literal translation of that means it is not fitting, not Na'a Ya'a, beautiful, fitting, nice. Okay.
Oh,
you say Yidalim? No, Yidalim is. Yehirusa literally means like arrogance. Yuhara. Arrogance is not fitting or not pleasant for women. Okay. That's funny. You think it's not fitting for anybody. Right? Arrogance is never good for anybody, right? But it says arrogance is not fitting for women. So Rashi translates that. Lo no'e chashivas l'nashim. Okay? It takes it out of its plain meaning. And it says, it means chashivas, significance, importance, is not fitting, is not pleasant for women. Okay? So that's interesting altogether. Rashi changes the translation. It's not what the word means. Yehurusa doesn't mean chashivas. It means arrogance. Like yura. Arrogance. But he's changing it to chashivas. Okay, why? Then we're going to explain. Tarti nashi ye neviasa yehirin havyam. There were two women who were nevios, who are, well, translated like Rashi, chashav. Okay. Visanyan shamayo. And their names were disgusting. Rashi says, shmosem usos. Their names were ma'os. I guess disgusting. I don't know if there's a better way to translate Ma'os and Usos. So the translation of Sanyan, it means hated. But Rashi says it means Me'usos. So I don't think Me'usos means hated, right? I know the word Sanyan usually means hated. But, you know, they're hated names. I guess it means they're hated, they're disgusting, they're unpleasant, something like that. Okay? So they're not such nice names. Chada Shemayu Shemazi Borta. One of them's name was Abi. The Hebrew version of Ziborta is Devorah. And the other one's name was a weasel, Cholda. Okay, so Dvora, which is a bee, and Cholda, which is a weasel. I think I'm translating that right, a weasel. Okay, so they're disgusting names, Meusos. Okay, fine. Ziborta, right? Ziborta, Ksivba, Vatishlach, Vatikra, Levarach. Right, by Ziborta, by Devorah, it says regarding her that she sent and she called to Barak. Okay, and she was telling Barak that she had Nevuah, that there was going to be a war, and he was going to go. She was asking him to go and be the general to lead the war effort, to fight against Sisera. Okay, so Va'ilu Ihi lo az legave, but she didn't go to him. She called him to come to her. Right, so Gemara thinks that wasn't really appropriate. Okay, and Karkushta, weasel, hold on 1 second. Ksivba Amru Leish, she said, say to the man, right? Lo Amra Amru LaMelech, and she didn't say to the king. After all, the man who she was sending a message to was the king, right? The king Yoshio. So she said, tell the man who sent you to me, so-and-so. But the man, she said, the king. That's what you talk about, a king. Right? So, okay, that's the end of the Gemara. So basically, the implication is, again, just to read it with a little bit of interpretation, it's saying is, importance, a position of importance isn't pleasant for women, because you have these two women who had these disgusting names, right? Bee and Weasel. And they were given these positions of power, authority, chashivas, whatever you call it, chashivas, right? Importance. And by both of them, they spoke in an unbecoming way, seemingly. Should have spoken in maybe Dvorah shouldn't have sent Barak to come to her, but she should have gone to him. And the Huldah shouldn't have said, tell the man. She said, tell the king. But the implication, I think, is that their, you see what happens? Their position of Hashivas went to their heads, and it ended up causing them to speak out of line or to act out of line. So you see from here that it's not good, it's not pleasant for women to be in a position of Hashivas. Right? That's the flow of the Gemara. Okay, question.
Mm-hmm. Why should Deborah have gone to Barak?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Who was Barak at that? Wasn't she a national leader?
I know, she was a shofet. I don't know. I didn't look into this too much. This is the part which I don't really know the answer about that. But it's a good question. So Barak, and I saw some chazal, or someone said that she was his husband. They were husband and wife. You hear that?
I've heard it.
You heard that before, yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure the answer to that question. But why is it that she should have? I mean, she had a nevuah. And she's telling Barak that, listen, this is what we're going to do. I'm not sure. Maybe because she was asking him to be the general. Maybe so she should have gone to him. But I don't know. I don't know what was exactly his position or his role. I saw that in the Marsha. Says something like he was more chasher than her. But I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. It's a good question. I saw someone wanted to say he was part of the Shalshalas and Masorah. Wanted to say, so he was like, I don't know though. I'm not sure. That's a good question. Yeah. Yes. 1 second. Yes, exactly. So Brooke's question is a great question. Is arrogance isn't good for anybody? Okay. So arrogance is bad for women. It's bad for men. It's bad for everybody. Right? Is that who's to say that's because they're a woman? Right. It's just not good. It's a general issue of disrespecting authority. Right. It just seems like they're coming in with this idea. I'm sure people who, you know, don't like Gemara or think the Gemara is a misogynist or something like that are just going to come and say, listen, Gemara doesn't like women or something like that. And it's just coming and blaming. They're not that bad at what they're saying. And it's just saying, oh, see that? I showed you. I told you it's not good to give women a position of authority. What, there's no man in a position of authority who misspoke? It's egregious what they're doing. Right? There are a lot of men who have power. And they do bad things, right? They're kings who are very corrupt, very evil. And is this really a legitimate gripe to say, oh, I told you, when you give women power, then look what happens, right? It sounds like it's pushing an agenda, right? That's the problem. It's just not convincing. It's not going to convince anybody. See, I told you don't give women position of authority because look what happened. These two different women, you look what I see.
What did they cause? So what was the result of this?
Nothing caused. Nothing. Nothing happened. They just spoke inappropriately. They spoke. You see what happened? Oh, okay. They spoke wrong. They spoke in a way which wasn't the befitting of them. Yeah.
What did the names being disgusting have to do with anything?
Yeah, that's another question. Yeah.
Type of animal? But
yeah. Yeah, good question. What's the sense that the names are disgusting? Who cares? What are you making fun of their names? Like, that's their names, right?
Presumably, they didn't choose their own names.
Yeah, they didn't choose their own names. I know you call them disgusting. It doesn't sound nice, right? Yeah, like we know how's that relevant to this whole discussion? They had disgusting names, and then, right? Like, therefore what? Therefore, what was the point? What's the relevance of that? What are they trying to show?
Also, Devorah specifically is like a terrible proof, because if Devorah was named after the Devorah in the Torah that goes out of their way to show that the brothers like mourned her, she like had no indication of arrogance. So apparently, Devorah sounding like Hornet doesn't prove anything at all.
Right. Okay. Good. Good question. Yeah.
Was Lo Na? Does that mean it's actually not good for them? Does it mean it's not Yeah. The people, or it's not being perceived low or something.
Yeah, good question. What does that mean? Lo na'a. It's not pleasant. Or, yeah, pleasant. I don't know how you translate pleasant. Nice, pleasant, fitting. What does that mean? It's a very vague phraseology. It doesn't say, if women get position of power, then blank, blank, blank. It's not fitting. It's not appropriate. It's not pleasant. It's not beautiful. And it's right. It's like a strange, it doesn't have a very strong import. Right. What is it saying? Right?
Especially because it seems like there's even literally accounts in the Gemara of like a woman like almost insulting each other, right? Like,
yeah.
And there it's not called like this horrible thing. I guess you could say it's just the mind or something like that. But aren't they kind of doing this for a good reason? Like they're involved in.
Right. Yeah. It seems so. I mean, Gemaras often do that.
Right. And what is it exactly? Because he didn't call him the king, he called him the man.
Right. Right, that's the way you talk to the king. Yeah. Talk to a king.
Right.
Right. No, no, that wasn't the husband. That was the other story.
Oh.
By Huldah, I don't think she was the husband, but Yoshio was the king.
Gotcha.
But whatever.
Right. For Karkushta, that sounds like Huldah in Hebrew?
In Aramaic, I guess.
I mean, Ziborta sounds kind of like Devora. I can see what you're saying. Karkushta to Huldah feels like a stretch. I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard to, you know, pick on the words. So I think it's Aramaic for Huldah. That's my impression. But, you know, I do think it's a good thing to take Gemaras like this. At least if you could explain them or to try to explain Gemaras like this. I mean, there are a lot of strange Gemaras, which are strange in many different ways. Sometimes they may sound mystical, magical, and sometimes they may sound misogynist. Sometimes they may sound whatever. You name it. A lot of Gemaras, which, to people who are, especially people who are looking to bash Chazal, there are a lot of, there's stuff out there. But, I think it's helpful to try to explain these Gemaras in a way which makes sense and which isn't necessarily in line with the way it sounds at first sight. So, anyone who's learned any Gemara knows that you can't just learn a Gemara by reading it and just saying what it sounds like it's saying. This doesn't work. Gemaras are very, very deep. Written by great Chacham. And there's a million Gemaras that you'll just read, you'll know what they're talking about. You realize it's based upon much wisdom, and to understand what it's saying, right? Obviously you have to analyze it and ask questions, and you can work on it for hours, and hopefully you can get some insight, right? And throughout every daf of Gemara. But, you just find one Gemara that sounds like it's misogynist, and you say, see, I told you. How do you interpret Gemaras? Well, there's a million Gemaras that sound like a lot of things, right? A lot of far-fetched things, a lot of whatever. But obviously, if anyone been through Gemaras or learns Gemaras, you see there's a lot of depth in them. And the people who are writing these Gemaras, Rav Nachman is a great Gemara who says many, many wise things throughout Shas. And it does him a disservice to just take him and just immediately project onto him the superficial understanding, which is in line with the modern preconceived notion that rabbis are misogynists. So, you could say they had a preconceived notion about women. Well, you say people nowadays have a preconceived notion about rabbis. So, we have to, it deserves the hours or time of analysis like any other Gemara. Just to pigeonhole them into a, some sort of a modern position, it doesn't seem to be fair to them. So I think that being the case, I think it's a good idea to try to explain any Gemara which seems to offend modern sensibilities.
Rabbi Feder?
Good. If we could, we can. So let me ask you this question. Let's forget about women for a little bit, okay? Let's just talk about men or people, okay? Is chashivas good for a person? Right? Yerusha shows chashivas, authority, importance. Is that good for a person? What is the Torah's attitude towards chashivas, towards authority, that type of a position? Is that a good thing for a person to have? And not good for a person to have? What? Depends. Okay, so depends is a good answer. That's safe. Okay? So yeah, it does.
It's usually dangerous.
Yeah. Okay. So, I think it's dangerous. Okay. It's dangerous. It's not necessarily good. Everyone in the world, especially nowadays, wants to be famous, right? Not everybody, but whatever. That's like something we hold out to be a virtue, fame, power, right? It's kind of what people look for in life, right? And they say, hey, it's not fair. Why can't a woman get that type of a position, right? But the Torah doesn't really hold that power is good for a person. Authority is good for a person. So there's, you know, I started to look through Avos because I remember it. I found that in the first paragraph of Avos, there's probably others. I don't know. Right. It says, Shmaya, Marash, Shmaya, Vatayim. Shmaya, Vatayim, or Gerim, right? And they're also Gerim. So they say, it says, Shmaya, and Avtalium. Am I right? Avtalium. Vatanam, I think, but they're Gerim.
They're all in Shammai's teachers.
Right. But they're Gerim, right? Yeah, but Gerim are also, I think, not allowed a position of a king. King or any authority?
King.
But it's also authority, right? Like Sarah, the same restrictions of authority of women apply to Gerim. So this is what they're saying. It says, Ahavas HaMalacha, different point, Saneas HaRabanos, hate Rabanos, right? Being a Rav, a leader, Ve'al Tizvada L'Rishos, and don't join together to, like, political leadership. So the Rambam explains, it says a person should work, because if you know that's the first part, it says a person should work. These three commandments. The first one is you should love Malacha, and then you should hate Rabbanus, and you should not become friends or join up with the power, the king. So it says, Shalosh Elayish Ban Tovas Hadas Yeholam Hazah. So these are things which are good for the religion and in this world. Fishad Hadar Malacha. Person doesn't work, it's so low. He'll have difficulty, he'll have pain, he'll suffer monetarily. Be exalt, Yavel, and he'll steal, and he'll be involved in the corruption. And by chasing after authority, Yavel will have nisyonos ba'olam. He'll have many nisyonos, tests in this world. Umatzavim kashim, and difficult situations. Because he will be jealous of people. The omed neged nisnagdav. And he'll have to stand up against those who are against him. You get into a public position, you have enemies, and you have to start fighting against them. Yeah, umav sedato. And he'll lose his das, he'll lose his das, his religion, his commitment to the religion. Kimosha amru, like Chazal say, kivan shenisnane adam melamata. When the person is appointed below, on earth, nase rasha melamaila. He becomes a rasha above. Okay, so appointing a person below makes a person a rasha above. The thing is, the appointment puts a person in very difficult situations, a lot of challenges, and very often it's going to lead him to lose his commitment to Torah, to his values. And similarly, joining together with a king is very hard to stay, to prevent yourself from it in the world, and it destroys your religion also, because you just try to do that which is going to get you closer to the king. Politically, and you know what happened to Doeg, and you, whatever. Okay. So the point is, Rambam's bringing down the Gemara. It says when a person is in the position of authority, they become a rasha. Obviously, it doesn't mean always. It doesn't mean always, but and obviously, we need to have leaders. Society needs leaders. In a certain sense, leadership is a double-edged sword, like a king. See, like Shmuel was, the Jews wanted a king, and it was bad. It wasn't appropriate that they wanted it. Said it was like we want a king, like all the nations, right? But the idea is a king. We the Torah has many checks and balances to protect, to prevent the king from going off, right? The vilti room of Echav. And I think part of the problem is that a person, by their nature, is egocentric, right, and feels like they live through themselves, and they feel like they're the center of everything, and they feel this elated sense of me, I'm important, right? Their own sense of self-importance. And in a certain sense, you could summarize a person's melchames hachayim, one aspect of it is to come to terms with the fact that you are not as important as you think you are, to recognize you're a nivra. You're small, nothing in God's big world, right? And again, your natural flow of your instincts is the opposite direction, is towards elevating yourself and thinking of yourself as great. And again, a person has to struggle with that and has to work through those feelings and has to gain as the person rises in the ranks of tzidkas and of chachma, They reach the highest level of anava, as Moshe Rabbeinu is described. Moshe is anavon, we call it Moshe Bnei Adama. So anava is like the highest level, and gaiva is like it's the opposite. So the person is in the sky, it's like he denies God's Baruch Hu. So that's a battle a person has. Now power, authority, kashivas, caters to that sense of the person. Okay, it's very dangerous because the world looks up to you. And the world tells you that that belief that you have about yourself is true. Right? At least that's the way you interpret it, certainly. And in some sense, they do. Right? And that is very, very risky. It gets the person, it plays into that sense of the person. And when they're in that position, they're very at risk of getting levilti ramav v'me'achav. And that's the Torah has many checks on the king. He has to carry on the Sefer Torah all the time. He has limits on his wealth and his wife and his horses and right, his whole system to make sure the king doesn't get drawn in. What?
So he doesn't attack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. You just look around the world and you see politicians. Right? Most politicians, I think, I haven't done a survey, but are corrupt in one form or another.
Absolute power corrupts.
Right? Yeah, power corrupts. Power corrupts. It corrupts for man, it corrupts for woman, it corrupts. It's a phenomenon about power. Power is not good for people. Okay, it's just not good for people. Now, you need, on the other hand, you need leadership. Mankind, society, we need leaders, right? We do need leaders. See, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to be a leader, but we needed a leader, and he was the most appropriate leader, and he negotiated with the Gosh Baruch Hu, but ultimately he did, and he ended up rising to the challenge, and it didn't corrupt him, but he's a great leader. But again, it's hard to come by great leaders. And probably statistically, the more leaders are not great. They're not great. It's a risk.
And the sins that he did have were because of people, whatever they were.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Even being a Greek king, he didn't come out and escape, not even from his own mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's for starters. Okay. So for starters, there's the background, the backdrop of the Gemara or of Chazal. Is Chazal were not people who are looking for power or authority or greatness. On the contrary, it says, Sineas Rabbanus. So the Mishnah is telling you, you should hate Rabbanus. You should hate it because I think naturally, emotionally, you get drawn towards it. And it's depicting like you should have put up an anti attitude towards it. You should run away from it. It's a corruptive force. And we should, a person should try as best as possible to avoid it, if at all possible. But again, society needs it. It's a reality. A society needs leaders. Everybody sits in the, like everyone's like Moshe and says, I don't want to do it. Then you're not going to have a leader. So it's necessary sometimes to be a leader.
It's the Nasi that said that.
What?
It was the Nasi that said that.
Which Nasi?
Shemaiah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was Nasi. Right. And he's saying, stay away from it. Right. Exactly. Okay. So now the thing is, so that's men, women, all alike. Right. Okay. Now, okay, but there's a reality. There's a reality that the world needs leaders. Okay, the world does need leaders. And let's just start simple. Okay, we'll qualify this a little bit. But the reality is certainly in the times of Chazal, in times of Chazal, is that the leaders were typically men. Okay, the men. There's something natural about the men being leaders, stronger. They're generally more outgoing. And not only that, I feel like this is the subtle point here, but that a man by his nature has a desire to conquer. Like for example, as I'll say, is a Kuruvu Mulosar Tichavshua. The person, the Mitzvah Kuruvu applies only to men. Because the Gemara says, Ish Darko Likavesh, but Ishain Darko Likavesh. Men are arrogant. Men want power. Men strive to make themselves in positions of significance, of power. This is men's struggle. We have to deal with this. We want to be that guy who's in power, who's in control. We're looking to be that guy by our nature. And I'd say more so than women. Okay? More so than women. Men have a desire that this, and this is the struggle, right? I mean, this is our struggle. I speak for, again, it's also for women, but I think it's more so. Men and women have different types of struggles. Men want, by their nature, are more looking to be that outgoing guy, that leader, that person. Now, you could say that's because of society, or you could say it's because of our inborn nature. Whatever. It's a different discussion. But the point is, even nowadays, I think it's true to some degree, but you know, you can argue nowadays it's different. The world is still different. But certainly back then, this is what natural leaders were men. Men are looking to be leaders. Men are looking for power, for authority, even power in the world or power in your peer group or whatever. But that's like a man that does the good Gemara says, Ish Dakli Kavish. So in a certain sense, this is our, I'm talking for the men around here, this is our struggle, our challenge in life, is to work with our desire for power, for chashivas, and to work on it, and to struggle with these desires, to go out into the world and do important things, and at the same time to not get corrupted by the successes which we have out there in the world. And it is a challenge and it's a struggle. And hopefully we come out on the good side of things, right? But this is kind of the position which men find themselves. Is power good for men? No, it's not good for men in general. But this is what we strive for power. We crave power, if you will. And we our challenge in life is to find the appropriate ways to make our mark, to make significant contributions to the world, to society, in a way which at the same time doesn't get to our heads. Okay. Yes.
What do you normally think to apply the opposite logic? Like if you have a problem in that area, stay away. Like as far as we care.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say if you have a problem with your time, go
okay.
Hang around, you know,
okay.
Prostitute houses or something.
Okay, good question. Let me finish the other side. Okay. Fine. But I'd say it's like this, is that women, again, not every woman, and again, not necessarily modern women, it's not necessarily identical, but women are more comfortable in a role not in the public eye. A supportive role. Like by Sarah, Neba Oel. Doesn't mean she didn't do anything. She says, her mom says she would convert the women. She did important things. But she was, when the Malachim came, they said, Neba Oel. And showed her that she was Tsunua. Women are more generally don't need to be the powerhouse, the leader. You know, they don't have that same striving for power, for conquest, for making that mark on the world. They're able to be, by their nature, more comfortable in a more private role. And that's like a model of, like, the model of Tznias, of Hatznei Alecha Sin Alekecha, of the person to go with Tznias, with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to be showing off in their greatness, but to be able to be comfortable with their own individual perfection and their own relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's like a model, a midah of Sarah Imena, for example. A great tzidkas, the highest level, but at the same time, she doesn't need to be out there in the world and showing it off. She's comfortable with her relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the model as Navi talks about. Is that, yeah, I forget the pasuk, but it ends with Hatznei Alecha Sin Alekecha. It's hard to go backwards, right? Yeah, get back, man. But, So it's like the ultimate goal of the person to be involved in chesed and tzedakah.
The
mishpat says, "What does God desire of you but to be?" Do justice and to love kindness and to go in tznias and humility with pleasure. So that's not a man or a woman thing, that's the perfection of mankind. But a woman, that is a model of the perfection of women. And like it says, kol kavod v'asnei mal pnima, like the kavod of a woman is inside. Now, that's a perfection for men also. That's a perfection for men also. But at the same time, the women have in a certain sense, an easier time being comfortable with that role. And they don't necessarily, like, it's again, it's in dark early coverage. It's not necessarily a role or a desire to conquer and to make her mark on the world. So Kavita's saying is like this, is that, fine. So again, men by society, by the dint of their nature and of society, that they generally naturally are the leaders. Society wants them to be leaders. They're stronger. Their personality is driving for it. And they are, by the way of the world, if you will, thrown into that milchama. And that is their milchama. And a woman, in general, is not, her nature doesn't necessarily go after it. Society doesn't necessarily put her in that position. And she's able to partake of the perfection, which is she's able to partake of. She's able to be well and to be able to strive to grow in her relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. To grow in her relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
So she's able to be.
I don't know. So the thing is that, but of course, sometimes women are great. Some women are the greatest. Right? Devorah, although they were Nevi'os, and they were the greatest people, and they were the ones who Hashem spoke to. Right? And of course, you don't say there's no monopoly on greatness. So men and women are equally capable of reaching to great levels. Any individual man, individual woman could be at the highest level. So they were in this time, Huldah and Devorah were two women who were Nevi'os. And they rose to positions of chashivas, right? Where was Shofetas, the people? She was a very great chachama and a neviyah and a shofet, right? Now, what's saying is that their names were disgusting, Mar says, right? They had these, names which were somehow disgraceful names or disgusting names. So it could be a means that they were very humble. By their nature. Their names were untoward names. They're names that people don't like.
They weren't flattering.
Yeah, they weren't flattering names. They were names which are, whatever. But they don't care. Whatever. I don't know their parents' name. I don't know how they got their names. But the point is, it's trying to say, like, your name is your identity. And their identity where they were lowly. They're like lowly people. Their names, their identities. They were comfortable with a name like Devorah, like a B, which people generally are, uncomfortable with. Or people are, shoo away a bee. Some people, right? Ancient people, right? Or Chulda to be a weasel. Who wants a name like that? But they shouldn't care. What we're saying is like their names, by their nature, they were very comfortable. They were the most humble people. They were comfortable being names which were untoward, disgusting names. Who cares? Men wouldn't take that. They wouldn't take a name like Chulda. I'm saying it's like it's a person who's striving for an image of greatness wants a name like Arye, like a lion or something, but they had these lowly names. Let me say they had these lowly names, and they were, I'm suggesting that Mara is saying is they were by their nature very, very humble, a height of humility, great nevios, right? But through the eyes of Chazal, analyzing these stories, and again, I'm not holding in these stories themselves, but this was Chazal's judgment, they stepped out of line. They acted out of character. They spoke in a way which illustrated, indicated a level of arrogance, which was not in line with who they were. Okay? Huldah called the king, the man. It's not the way you talk to a king. Well, if you're a great person, you know. So you're great. So you could talk to a king like that. Or again, I don't know the particulars, but Devorah summoned Barak to come to her. She didn't go down. Again, I don't know why exactly that's what the etiquette was in that situation, but it seems like Chazal thought she should have been the one to go to him. She's making a request of him to be the general. She should go to him and say, listen, we want Hashem to send a boy, you should be the general. Okay, again, I don't know the particular. Maybe you have to look into that story a little more. But through the eyes of Chazal, that was not the appropriate. It was not becoming, as I guess David was saying, it's not in line with the high level of anava, which these people had at their core, going to their identity, their names, indicated a very high level of humility, of making themselves small, and they acted in a way which is not that way. And Chazal are attributing that to their being thrown into a position of authority, of chashivas, which they didn't need to, which in theory women don't need to do in general. I'm not saying here they didn't need to, maybe they did have to, and it did, maybe it corrupted them a teeny bit, but they didn't have a choice. What it's saying is in general, a woman is fortunate to not be thrown into the challenges of chashivas. Embrace it and enjoy it, and don't run to try to get into the position where you now have to struggle with your sense of greatness. Because you have the society, the way society is set up, you have the capacity to live a humble life, which is conducive to a person reaching a high level of Vatznei Lechas Malkecha, to live the life that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be able to live. He said, I don't want to be in the position of authority, to embody this Mishnah, which has Sneas Rabbanus. So no one's forcing you in general to get to the Rabbanus. Now, why would you run for Rabbanus? The two greatest women, when they got pushed into that position by the times, by the situation, it ended up taking them down a notch in this regard. So what it's saying is, a woman shouldn't look at the restriction which says a woman can't take on a lot of occupied position of leadership as a negative, which she's trying to fight against and overcome, but rather she should realize it as the opportunity which it provides her and it affords her. And she should realize it's not na'ah for a woman to push out of their place and try to get into a risky, jungle of challenges of arrogance. Men are in that position, and it's not na'ah for men either. But men, this is the way men, the world puts men into this place. Their nature puts them into this place. This is their challenge. But women have other challenges to deal with. And why take on the challenge that a man has when you don't need to? Yeah.
I don't think I understand the core logic, really.
Okay.
Are we saying that women are uniquely, worse disposed to handle the challenges of being in position leadership?
Again?
Are we saying that women are more likely to be poorly disposed at handling the challenges of being in leadership? Worse than men?
I'm not saying they're poorly disposed to it. I'm saying it's not their... it's not their challenge. And it's like you're inviting a challenge. It's like a challenge which you don't have. And it's like you're trying to bring it on. So it's like, don't bring on a new challenge which you're not already in. It'd be like a person would be, like a guy would say, I don't know, I think I'm going to take up drugs. Because I think it would be interesting. Good idea. Try it out, So someone who is addicted or is quit, I'd say to him, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you putting yourself in that situation? Why you don't have that challenge? You don't have that struggle. Just because you're curious or just because you whatever, you want to be able to have that challenge. It's a big challenge. It's people deal with that their whole lives. And like someone who's recovering, I'd say to him, are you crazy? What are you doing to yourself? Because you want to invite a struggle which you don't have. You don't need that struggle. You're happy and you're living your life in a way which is fine without the struggle of having to stay off drugs. Now, what are you going to do? You're just going to experiment with it for a few weeks just to see what it's like and for what? Yeah, it offers some sort of an attraction, but at the same time, it's dangerous and it has its great risks. And why enter yourself into that? It's something which is necessary for some people to use drugs because society needs it. Whatever, I'm not saying that in this case, but it's like it's not something which you say it's not fair that I'm not allowed to use drugs. Let me try, and we'll decide. Maybe it is, but I'm just saying as an example. Obviously, the differences between the two. But the point is, it's a challenge, and the world is set up in a way that men have to deal with that challenge, and women, by their nature in general, don't have to. So it's saying is, now it could be, It could be that given that they're not used to it, it does create a new challenge because they're not used to it. But I'm not necessarily saying that. I mean, men aren't so great at it either. I'm not saying men are better at dealing with it than women. Men also have their challenge. And many men have gotten positions of authority and are corrupted, of course. And the Torah, but the Torah is built around the society where men are that place, and it sets up checks and balances. And of course, there are many men who fail at it, but you don't have a choice. I mean, the men are naturally put into that role. But it's saying is a woman is not. And again, why we could discuss why that is the case. Then men are the ones. Maybe a different discussion. Why are the men the ones who have that role and women? It could be different reasons given. But that's the way the society is, and the way the system is set up. And most societies were set up. Up until recently. Now it's saying is a woman wants to push herself into that role. So it's saying is that being the case, it's saying is that's she shouldn't look at it as she's being prevented from this great metzia that only men have access to. She look at it as she's being guarded against the great challenge and stumbling block, which only men find themselves in. And therefore, it's not na'ah for a woman who is able to be in a position where she doesn't need to do that to try to get into that position. Yeah. 1 second.
I suppose it's hard to try to get out.
Yeah. So that's what Yaakov was asking, is that you could try to reverse it and say, since men have this problem or they're doing it, so now they should not do it. And women should, since they're not already arrogant, they should be the ones to take it on. But that's kind of the argument, right? But, yeah, you could argue that. But, I mean, then you're just going to go back and forth and back and forth every generation. You're just going to be swapping back and forth, you know? It could be is that, there's a different question. There's a good question is why is that the way the Torah society is set up, or every society for that matter up until recently is set up? And the question is, given that's the way it's set up, is this, how should a woman relate to it? Should she look at it as she's being deprived of a great thing, or should she try to be happy about the fact that she's not thrown into that? But I don't know if it would help to just swap it, because then it's just going to reverse, and then you're going to have a system which is going to change every 100 years. And take the women. The women are going to be the authorities and the arrogant. And then, let's just say their nature is, I don't know.
I guess
it's their nature.
In Mitzrayim, they have men doing women's work and women doing men's work, and that was Korah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it could be as like, I don't know if you could just do that. I mean, men, you know, if you force a person whose nature is, and they have it, just wear a burqa. And don't ever have any beauty or anything. Don't be involved in beauty because it's your nature, and you have a desire to show your body off. So therefore, you should just wear a burqa, call it, cover up your body 100%. I mean, there might be an idea, but you have to recognize the Torah doesn't go opposite a person's nature. It works with a person. This is a person's nature. Man has this nature which he desires it, and the Torah says, okay, so do it and try to do it within balance in the proper way. What it's saying is it doesn't turn it off. It tries to give him a path which works within his desires, which could be negative and could be positive. But it doesn't say, don't create a new taiva which doesn't exist. It'd be like you tell a man, don't get involved in showing off your body. You don't naturally need to do that. You don't naturally want to do that. Don't start doing that. It's not... You don't have that struggle. Why do you have... That's a woman's struggle with that. That's there. They have that desire. And again, I'm talking in generalities here. So don't put yourself into that situation. That's a challenge. And a man could do that, and then he'll also have that challenge. But you're not going to make that thing go away from women by making them wear burqas and cover them up. It's just not... That's just part of human nature. And Torah is not denying nature. It's recognizing men have that nature. And it's saying that being that they have that nature, and being that they're... In a certain sense, are stronger, more powerful. It's a sense of them being the leaders and being the ones who are going out to the battlefield and being the ones who are going to, you know, fight the wars and call the people to whatever. So there's a sense of that. And it's saying it's fine. So this Torah sets up a system, which a person, you know, mitzvos, which help try to check a person. And the ultimate case of a king is all system. So I don't know if it helps to go the opposite way. Just saying, as a person who's not in that, shouldn't be looking to be able to create a new challenge.
So with a couple of premises first established, one that you're saying that it is more of the challenge of the guy in general, the man, to seek vision power, so that's something he has to deal with more. And two, one being that seems a little obvious, which is that there is still some sort of achievement, a reward of some sort, it's merit to be a good king. Would it be reasonable to then to propose that also the reward would inherently be greater for the guy, since the challenge is also greater, and therefore it's more of a...
I mean, maybe, yeah. Right, just like the challenge of a woman to control her desire to show off her body would be greater, but
right.
She control herself, that's true. But this is the way we are, you know, men and women have different natures and different challenges. But that doesn't mean you try to create a... You say, look, if I get addicted to drugs and then I control myself, I'll get the greatest star in the world. This is really a strong desire. You don't do that. You have your own. You already have challenges. You have your own challenges, and you work on those. You don't try to bring new ones on.
But that's what I'm saying. That's already...
Yeah, to the degree that a man does that, it's great. And he's able, but, you know, it's risk. It's a risk which, you know, unfortunately more...
Even for him, but I'm saying, oh, it's definitely... This is a risk for him. That's definitely an unnecessary...
Yeah, unnecessary risk. Exactly. It's a, right. So my point, again, here's my point, is whether you buy this or not, okay? Again, there are questions. I have a few more minutes. I'm happy to take whatever questions we have. But this is a perspective on the ground. Okay, you may like it, you may not like it. But if this is correct, it's not speaking negatively against women. On the contrary, it's speaking positively against women. It's speaking negatively against men, if anything. Right? And it sounds like it's a misogynist gemara if you read it at first sight. But then when you think into it, or at least according to this analysis, unless you prove that this is wrong, but this is certainly a reasonable way to interpret it. You could spin it and say they're misogynist, and that's all they're doing. But this is a different way to interpret it, which is in line with what we know about Chazal's attitude towards power and authority. Chazal did not thrive power and authority and say we're not letting women have it. Chazal say hate power and hate authority. And then it's saying to women, don't try to get into this thing. We hate it. We don't want to do it. So this is a reasonable way to interpret this gemara. So don't just take a gemara like this and say, see, another instance of misogynists and rabbis who hate women, and this is another, fits into your preconceived idea of what you think rabbis should be. There's another way to take it. And this is just one gemara, and I'm sure there's more depth to it, and I don't know that this isn't getting down to the bottom of it, but gemaras are deep, and they're not necessarily what meets the eye. I didn't do any big fancy footwork here to show that you think about it a little bit and you realize Gemara is actually, if anything, according to this interpretation, it's laudatory of women and their nature and saying men are, you know, power hungry, whatever adjective you want to use. Right? So, you know, that's my overall point here, yeah.
Can you explain again how the Gemara is using the Raios and the Levios?
I'm trying to say that it's using the Raios and the Levios. Again, I haven't learned those parts in the note, so which is, you know, unfortunate. But I didn't. But it's assuming from those stories. This is the assumption which is making that was not appropriate. It's not appropriate for Huldah to call the king the man. It's true she's a Navi, but you don't speak to the king. Let's start with that one's easier. Okay. Then Huldah was a very humble, high level person. She was a Nevuah. Nevia, her name was Huldah Weasel. She didn't care. She's just by her nature, her core identity was humility. And yet, she's talking like an arrogant person. Why did she talk that way? Chazal are suggesting because she was put in a position of power, of chashivas. And lo ya'a is not appropriate, it's not fitting, it's not nice for them. Women of the authority corrupts, power corrupts, it corrupts men, it corrupts women. One more thing, I forgot about this. Chazal call chashivas yirusa, arrogance. They're not calling it power with a capital P and a big smile on their face. They're calling it yirusa, arrogance, right? It's like if you call politicians, whatever bad word people have against them, I don't know, corrupt, the corrupt, right? What? Liars. Yeah, people call the politicians liars. That's their job. Oh, you became a liar? Right? It's like that's the way people talk about politicians. That's the way Chazal are talking about this authority. And they're saying it's not appropriate for, it's not nice for women to be chashav. But it doesn't say chashav. It says not nice than to have yirusa, to have arrogance. It's calling authority arrogance because it is a position of arrogance, and it's arrogance for men and it's arrogance for women. But the fact that it's using that word is a hint to the idea, which is that's the way we look at chashivas. Rashi's translating yirusa means chashivas, and yirusa is just a bad word. It's like pejorative against authority. That's the way we look at authority. We look at it as gaiva. So that's our angle towards it. It's saying it's not appropriate, it's not fitting for a woman to have that. Yeah, did I answer your question?
Chazal's read on these parshas then is that they're actual mess ups.
Yes, right. Chazal, that's what I'm saying. Chazal is reading it that they're mess ups, right? That these people, it was inappropriate what they did. It's beyond what they should have said. And because they said that, it's indicative of this this issue. Yeah. Did I answer? Why is Gemara calling chashivas? Oh, yes, I did mention that. Thank you. Despite three things should help them slip in their humility. They're a woman, they have a name which reflects humility, and they're nevios. Yes, okay, good. Yes. Despite the fact that they have three, Chulda and Dvorah, three things which should help them in this area, namely they're women, which in general their nature is that they're more comfortable with tznius. They have a name which reflects humility. They're nevios. But despite that, they slipped in this area. How much more so should we be careful in the area in this area? If we're men, mm-hmm. or if we're women, or if we're not nevios, or if we have names like Aryeh. Nothing against Aryeh. So, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes, Michael, you have your hand, the yellow hand, patiently waiting there. I'm sorry. I almost didn't see it.
I was wondering if we could pose an alternative read. I'm not like...
To do this because come out of more justice, going to what you're saying or what I'm saying, then either way, you have to really do it better. Would be to look at those stories and then up and analyze them, you know, more thoroughly. And I think that would be helpful. Maybe you would support Mike John. Maybe you would reject Mike John. Maybe you would support what you're saying, Michael. Maybe you would reject them. Maybe you would end up with third John. I don't know. You know, I didn't really put enough time to really do it thoroughly, but it would be interesting to learn those parshios in the Navi, you know, and seeing, yeah, and seeing if there's more insight that could be gained. I looked a little bit, but I didn't give it enough time.
Well, really. The main thing is that because he thought that she would, that Nashim are more Rahmanios.
Oh, yeah.
And then she gave him a very harsh response.
Oh, I see.
Who was the Devorah? And by Devorah, her whole thing was to try to. Try to yield power to Barak.
Right.
Said that you know, go do it. And he said, if you go with me, I'll go.
Right.
And he said, but then you're glory. But I'll go with you. Right. But now, but that means you're not ready to take over.
Right.
To take the reins. Because
right.
Now the victory is going to be called Biyadisha,
right.
Which is me.
Was it Horus? Yeah.
No, it's not Deborah.
But then still, it sounds like it's saying is that it would have been more appropriate for her to go to him, maybe for what she was trying to accomplish.
Right, because you see, I mean,
she's trying to put him in.
And Eliyahu went to Achav Aishan Ismael Snav.
Right.
Put on his belt.
Right.
And he's
Peter?